sure that those that pay for services receive the services. That's the fundamental issue that we have in the fire district area, is people are paying for services and they're not getting services from the county. So that's the idea, to try and fix this system so that it's fair for everyone. And I just have to say, that sounds real simple to say, fair, but it becomes very complicated when you're dealing with 19 cities and a variety of situations involving their fire departments and their EMS service. But that is the goal, to be fair with everybody. Now let me start off with kind of a general statement. Logan City, back in the 60s, when this district was originally set up, said that they did not want to be part of the district. For some 30 or 40 years, Cache County had been collecting property taxes from everybody in the county, including Logan, and using a portion of those property taxes to pay for fire and EMS coverage in the county. So the initial unfairness of the system was that Logan citizens were being taxed and not receiving commensurate services from the county. That was the fundamental unfairness that existed. We're addressing that. The county council this coming Tuesday will have the opportunity to take the category of cities and unincorporated area that's in the county and apply the taxes that are applicable to fire and EMS to that group, excluding Logan. So that there will be another line on your tax return in the fall which says fire, EMS, and that line and levy will go against everyone in the county except those people in Logan. So that's the first unfairness that we're addressing. Let me just talk a little bit about the consequences of that, though, so that you understand. If you, and I'm going to start with North Logan here. North Logan pays out $1,093,000 to Logan City for their fire service. Their taxable value is $1,779,000,000. So the city of North Logan, if you compare what they're paying for fire and EMS to their taxable value, it's 0.000614. Now, if we take a primary home that's in North Logan, let's say it's a $600,000 home, because it's a primary home, it's taxed at 55% of its taxable value. So that home would be taxed at $330,000. Now, when you take the levy that the county has put on the county wide, and you take Logan out of it, then the levy lands on the people who are not in Logan, and to get the same dollars, the levy increases. Everybody follow that? The county budget is $3.9 million. Everybody in the county is paying it. That ends up with a mill levy to generate that money of about 20.00023. But when you take Logan out of it, you have to increase that to get the same amount of money. So it goes from where it said 0.000346. The sheet I passed out a week or two ago said 259 or 230. Everybody follows. What happens is the same amount of money has to be collected from a smaller group of homes and people. So that's what had to happen. Nothing much we can do about it. We're not providing fire and EMS services. services for Logan. So that's a consequence of that. So if you, what I have here is every city, this one starts off with North Logan, but if I go across the chart, I finally get over, this one is Logan. So Logan's is right there on the very end, and if they have $6 billion worth of taxable value in Logan City. When we stop taxing that, we lose $1,360,000. So that's why the levy goes up. Anybody have a misunderstanding about that? Everybody understands it. So what's going to happen this year is the county's not going to levy any additional taxes, but the taxes they have levied falls on a smaller block of people. So, Chad, where your home last year paid, if you were the average home, $74 for your county fire coverage. It's going to go up $40, and you're going to pay $114. Now, assuming you live in the typical home in Cache Valley, that's what's going to happen. So everybody kind of follows that. That's the first stage of fairness, is to get Logan out of the middle. But there are other problems, too. For example, Mayor Alder, your city pays for all your fire and EMS to Logan. So you're in somewhat the same situation as Logan, but you're a member of the fire district. They're not. So you have the same problem, don't you? So that's what we're trying to fix, is the problem that Mayor Alder has. Now she's sitting next to another mayor, two more mayors, Wellsville and Minden here. There's Wellsville. I've got the wrong mayor in the wrong city. But you two guys each have your own fire departments. So you're in a different situation than Providence. We need to recognize that. But the EMS service you both use right now comes from the county. So that's different than another city. So how do we go about restoring the fairness? Well, what we're trying to do is when we've collected taxes from a party that has no need for services from the county, we're trying to return the money to them. So it started with North Logan. Let's go back and look at North Logan. Mayor Peterson, what services do you get from the county for fire and EMS?
No measurable ones.
There are some county-wide services.
You're talking about, in the fire realm. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
But virtually nothing. But, for example, there are some services where we take care of wildlands and burn permits and things like that. But in terms of fire engines and ambulances, where do you get those services from?
From Logan City.
And you pay for that, right?
Yes.
That $1,093,000 is what you collect from your citizens, comes into your general fund, and you've been paying that to Logan.
Right.
So you're really in a virtually similar situation to what Logan City is. So the voucher program is designed to solve that problem by returning the funds to you. Now, you're not released from the obligation to use them for fire and EMS, but you would enter into an interlocal agreement with the county, and we would return the funds to you, and you would see that those funds are used for fire and EMS. And when we talked about it a month ago or so, we were talking about putting an 800 mil levy, and you came and said, that's too much, I can't deal with that in terms of property tax. The property tax that we're talking about returning to you now is what the revised number is, which is 346 mils. I think that's doable.
It's a completely different scenario. This is very responsive to what we talked about, right. So I appreciate that.
So if we, and let me just say, I'd like to return everything to you, but I need to hold a fraction of that for those countywide services. So what we're proposing with you, here's your typical home. The amount of money we're collecting in North Logan this year should be $615,000. Now, it's going to jump a little bit based upon the property tax because they haven't finalized the property tax. It's going to be real close to that number. What I would want to do in your situation, Mayor Peterson, is have an interlocal agreement with you between you and the fire district that said you would take this money and use it in part to solve or to pay for the fire services you need to cover your citizens. The fire district needs to be assured that that money is going for that purpose, and we would like to shave off 6% of that money for the countywide needs that we have. So that's a deduction of 36, like 554 is what we're proposing. We think that's a reasonable allocation for North Logan. We would be collecting that money this fall. So in your city budget, you could say, I expect to see that $554,000 somewhere around January of this year.
Okay. Is that really, 659 is 36,000, is that really 554?
Pardon me?
Where are we missing something between the 615 minus the 36?
Well, the math is right.
But it would be whatever, 615 minus 36.
Yeah, I ran it up 10%. It looked
okay.
Like giving the job.
Okay. Now we're talking.
And I have to be honest with you. There's a discussion still to be had about that. I'm working with Chief George. And frankly, if you're the ninja, I'm not sure anyone else did either.
Okay.
So, anyway, that's a problem with spreadsheets.
Okay.
Sometimes they don't do math correctly. So, you would be getting more like 570 or
500. So, exactly, if you can help me understand this 16.7. What's the math behind that? So, money for county fire EMS without Logan.
Okay, I'm going to come down to that in just a minute.
The green roads that you've already talked about. The green roads.
That's the money that's coming in
okay.
On our. That's
taxable.
That's
value
money that's the, coming in from those cities, Larry. And we'll get over to your city in a minute.
Can I say it's taxable value times the 0.346 mils?
Yes, that's what it is. Again, those figures may move around very slightly, but not a lot. Now, Mayor Peterson, I don't think your situation is any different than Mayor Alder's situation, nor your situation, River Heights. I think you three are virtually all the same. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So, same treatment for all three of you, okay? Let me illustrate some other treatments that we're talking about. Okay, one look at Smithfield. Now, the situation with Smithfield is different than Mayor Peterson's situation because they're running their own fire department and their own EMS. In addition, Smithfield, unlike North Logan or Mayor Alder, has an area unincorporated that's around them. And they, we need to have them take care of that unincorporated area. And frankly, that, Aaron, that's a matter of back and forth as to how much money we need to give you to cover that. But what I've done up there is I've added the $35,000 to the tax base that you have in your cities. So my thought in your case would be that we would add that to your 528, and then we'd take the 6%, and I may have done, I'm not quite sure what those numbers are, but the idea was we would deduct 6% and then give you a check for that amount. So there's a variation between what happens with you and them only in that you get some money for the unincorporated area. Other than that, you would get a check in January for that amount, again with an interlocal agreement that said you're going to use money to take care of fire services.
And in Georgia, it's the same thing. Richmond is tied to Smithfield. And so as the number comes over here tied to the unincorporated, that would then allow us, in our own interlocal agreement with Smithfield, to then have a pass-through of saying, hey, this is the unincorporated portion.
Right, same thing. We're putting with Richmond an area there. We're putting an area with Lewiston. We're putting an area with Minden. And we're trying to put out some money. Now, the county in the past has had a certain dollar amount. These some vary from that a little bit. I just have to be honest. I'm trying to move things around a little bit to try and preserve as much as I can so that we can operate. But now let me take another city. Well, let's stay right where we are. The South unincorporated and the North unincorporated get those monies there. So, and let me say the South incorporated is a little bit heavy here because I put some areas in that. And it had to do with my arrangement with Logan that instead of paying the 6% out of the shares that Logan's getting, Logan's going to take care of some unincorporated areas for the county, such as College and Young Ward. Again, subject to finalization between the fire district and Logan, that's the general intent. So I kept that out of this, but some of that money that's up there represents a trade that the fire district will enter into Logan. Because Logan has to pay the 6% too. That's what I'm basically saying. If it's countywide, they should also share in that expense. But because they're not in the fire district, I can't deduct it from something I'm paying them. So instead, they're going to render services that mimic that. And I told them 10%, not 6%. But like I said, that's still going back and forth between us a little bit. But the pink line there is something that the county council have to do. We have the ability on the unincorporated area of the county to impose a levy. A levy for municipal services. We haven't ever done that, but it's fair that we do that because the unincorporated areas don't pay anything through a city budget for fire services. So it's fair that we put an additional levy on them to bring them up. The 460 and the 236 together with the 346 come up with an 800 mil levy on them, which is pretty close to what Logan pays and what the larger city figure of fire department comes close to cop and that's true in Hiram and Smithfield as well. So again, that's a decision that the council's gonna have to make as to whether they're comfortable doing it. Any questions about why that's there? Okay, Hyde Park. Where is Mayor Cox? pretty much like Mayor Peterson and Mayor Alder, aren't you? So you would be treated the same as them. If you look at what's happening here, we're deducting. I think I got the 60% right there. I just haven't got the math right. You're going to get a little more money than that, too. Okay. I think I've deducted it at 10%, where it's really 60% there. Any questions about what we're doing with Hyde Park or proposing to do? Mayor Cox, again, it'll be an interlocal agreement between your city and the fire district. And then we'll disperse the money to you based upon that interlocal agreement that you're providing the coverage for fire services. And I think you contract at this point with Smithfield, right?
Yep.
Now, Hyde Park and Providence and North Logan need to know that this is their decision as to what their contractual arrangements will be with the parties they contract with. For example, Mayor Cox, you've got Mayor Rudy right behind you to the right, and he's thinking, what am I going to get out of Hyde Park? So you and he are going to have to work that out. Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It isn't unreasonable that a city doesn't. I mean, all of this money should be expended for fire service. But it should release some areas in your budget where you could begin to hold some money for fire service and stations and things like that. But I don't think anybody's costs are going to be less than the money we're dispersing. So, okay. Now let's go to Nibley. Or Nibley. You're still deciding what you're going to do. We understand that. But as we look at Nibley, that's the amount of money that we're collecting under 346. You don't really have any unincorporated area that's in a fire service area. If we deduct 5 or something, then that 691, what that is 8 mils times your taxable value, Mayor. And I think at this point you're contracting with higher. What we did there is the 410 is the difference between the 299 and the 691. Now, you have to understand right now you're paying for fire and you have a separate payment to the county for EMS.
Correct.
And so I'm extrapolating from those two and saying that basically you would have that amount of money that would be available to buy fire and EMS service, either from Hiram, Logan, or the county, or whomever. Understand how that would work. The way this would actually play out, Mayor, is we would be giving you a check, and you would decide what you're going to do with it.
A check for $299,000.
Less 10% or less 6%.
Okay, yeah. And then we figure out how to provide service?
Yes, yes. That's how it would work. That's how it would work with everybody. That's how it would work with Millville as well. If you guys would, the only requirements the fire district would make is you got to spend it for fire and EMS. You can't make it on a park and it's segregated, and that's what your interlocal agreement will require. I can walk through the rest of the cities. Does anyone want me to look at a particular city? Well, let's go out north and look at some of those cities. I think there's some differences out there. Okay. Let's take a look at Paradise. Paradise has quite a bit of unincorporated areas that's up Blacksmith Fork, and so they receive quite a chunk of additional disbursement. Okay, because we have a mayor of Paradise, but the way that works out is we add 3,000 to that, we take 6% of that, you'd have a check for $73,000. And we'd be giving that to you in January. You'd have to use that for fire service. Now, you've been paying for EMS for the county, and I'm not sure what you want to do. I figured out what $400 mil was made on your value, and that's 56. So you'd be about even. That is, you would you have a little money, but not much left if you pay for EMS services for $400 mil. But right now you're paying out of the general fund for that. And that's what we're saying. Probably it close to the law. I have to admit, I've got to go through every city one by one and take a look at what they're paying, what they're getting, what areas they cover, and whether they want to contract with the county to provide EMS service, or whether they want to contract with someone else. All right, let's take a moment to find Lewis on here. Okay, Lewiston, you're pretty much like Mayor Peterson. County helps you in some ways, but that's not a lot. You've got some equipment out there, but you've also got a bunch of unincorporated areas. So what we were doing is going to add $15,000 to your budget for that. Take away 6% or 10% of that and give you a check for $82,000. That's pretty close to what our arrangement with you would look like, because we don't render any fire or EMS service directly. But by keeping that 6%, we believe we can continue to provide what you asked us about, which was training and some of those services that support your department.
Which is what we need. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, again, I'm trying to pay attention to what you've asked. Let me just say, Chief George has been very, very helpful in this. It's a little bit like cutting off these fingers to see that we're not doing a unified fire department, but he has been most helpful in helping get the numbers and trying to work through this. We've still got a lot of work to do to figure out how all this is going to fit together. But the next stage is probably, if you like the overall idea, is for us to sit down with each city, look at your individual situation, find out what you need, particularly look, and how we can help you do that.
Will this be with Chief George? Because he has a whole list of what we're getting right now.
Okay.
Quick question for just for clarification. So, is the county planning on keeping EMS for their certain portions, or is that
depends on what the cities in the south want to do, and that's an issue between us and Ironman. In the short run, we probably have to continue to operate. There isn't a choice to do that. That's something to be decided. And frankly, the arrangements between us and Hiram are very complex in terms of how we would shift that to Hiram. And it really depends a little bit what Mayor Jacobson and the other mayors in the South wants to do. I would hope so, would be the answer. I hope so, but we'll just have to see how that works out. This is designed to be a mayor-driven system. It's not driven by the county, and part of that is we need to get more mayors involved in the fire board, and you guys need to make the decision about what we're doing.
As you talked about the county and Hiram and what did we decide and so on, that's definitely going to affect Wellsville and us, because we are dependent upon the county to help us with the EMS, and that's my fire chief's biggest concern.
I understand.
And the training.
And what I'd like to see is if we get a meeting with the South and we sit down, it really doesn't concern the North and doesn't concern Providence or Riverheads, but the rest of us in the South need to sit down and kind of, whatever we decide to do, at least another year or so, we're probably going to continue to run the EMS that you did. Nothing's changed in there. But
will there continue to be a corresponding reduction in the county property tax rate to offset this 346?
Either there will be a reduction or there will be continued distribution. You follow what I'm saying? We could leave it at 346 and just continue to distribute the money. We could reduce it. If we did that, then we would have to make up the money somewhere else for fire and EMS. In your case, the only part you're paying is that 6% of the total that's being collected there. So a reduction is dollar for dollar.
I guess I'm just trying to figure out, as I'm talking to my residents, they'll see a new fire district tax. And so that would be about a 14% increase for them if it's a brand new tax. There won't be then a corresponding reduction in the county's property.
Not the county. The county will separate. So there will be a reduction in the residual county because we're going to move all of this over to a fire category. So that category will be new. But the county, it would be the same dollar whether it was part of the county or in the new category. It's revenue neutral to the county.
So,
but it's not revenue neutral to you. If you're getting a check, Mayor, for $500,000 or $600,000, you don't have to take that out of your general fund anymore. If you wanted to, and again, it's your decision, but my thought is you would reduce your citizens' tax appropriately because you don't have to get all of the fire money out of their pockets anymore. But again,
but that would be the responsibility of the city.
That's your business, but if somebody comes to me and says, why am I paying this new tax? I'm going to say, well, look, we haven't collected any more money. We haven't. It's the same money that we were collecting before. But we're turning that money back to you. And if you don't reduce your taxes, you're increasing. So each mayor and city will have to deal with that.
Probably really difficult. Well, that's good evening, because I think you do this. Why do you not like the fire district concept versus the levy system?
I don't know that what I like has ever really been asked that way. I'm trying to deal with what the mayors want. And my perception is the mayors do not want a centralized fire system. That's and so I'm responding to that. If I could do the world over again, there's a lot of reasons why a unified fire system for the whole county makes a lot of sense. But how we get from there to there is a problem. And if the mayors don't want to do it, I don't think I should be imposing it upon them. That's the basic answer to your question.
Don't we already in the state have workable fire districts that seem to function?
They cover a range of how they approach problems. Weaver County has an elaborate system of fire. districts with their own election arrangements and everything. Salt Lake has another system, but it's kind of varies from county to county. We're trying to build on what's already there. And if you think there's a better way to go, persuade this group that there is, and we'll head in that direction. I'm trying to facilitate what 19 mayors want. It isn't easy.
So, Mayor Cox, what you were saying about breaking down in the tax levels for residents, ultimately, if our property tax is X currently from the county, it's at this X tax rate. What you're going to do in the next year, it'll show that we've now made a better delineation. And here is the Y portion, and here is the Z portion. All of it adds up to, if you didn't increase anything, it still adds up to X.
Yeah, the part of the county, that's true.
From the county, yes, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, if you look at our county now, we have a couple of line items within our taxes. What are they, Sandy? One is mental or
the health. Water district, health.
Health and open space.
Mosquito abatement.
Yeah, so we break it out. And that's all we're going to be doing with the fire. We're going to break it out. But at the same time we break it out, that breakout is not going to Logan City. So we're not going to collect that $1,360,000 anymore.
Yeah, higher than well, though, we don't show up on the blue line to check, but we show up on the gas. We're all concerned about that.
Well, we'll be dealing with city at a time, but I think it's somewhat neutral with respect to you, Steve, because I've put in there that you're continuing to pay for the EMS. So,
okay, I understand the EMS is a business, county-related thing, but it looks like what is our return based on? So I understand the 346 is what will come back. That replaces the 2590, right?
Yeah, and that comes back as a credit against right. What you're paying for the EMS service.
Okay.
So it's a net. That's how that is. But again, that's something we have to deal with each city. But what you've got in higher is you've got your tax and then our tax. And our tax, most of what you're paying out, goes to pay for the EMS service that you now have. So you're not going to see a lot back because you're continuing to rely on us for EMS.
Okay, so. Okay, I understand that. So this does have anything to do with the mill rates we're talking, 6, 7, or 8?
Well, no. It's
different.
Well, what I did is I took the mill rate and divided it in half if you were getting EMS and okay. Said 400 mils for EMS. But this does, in both of your cases, include what you're paying for EMS.
Does it include what they're paying now or the 0.4 that you need to be?
Well, actually, Hiram is paying more now than they're going to be paying under this system. Hiram pays us about $190,000 now. And so when this gets credited, it goes back and you debit, it ends up being less money. Anyway, that's. I'll have to go through it with you. The principle is you're going to get service, and you're going to pay for the service, and that's all we're trying to do. And I realize you're sitting in front of Mayor Peterson, you're getting a big check, and you're not.
So I'm just wondering, and it's a small amount, is it right to hold out that additional 6% from the cities that are receiving funds to cover unincorporated county, because that's exactly why they were, everybody else was paying is for them to cover that.
No.
And now they're being paid that with that 6%, but now we're gonna pull the 6% out again.
The 6% is levied across on everything.
For the overall countywide.
Right, okay.
Correct.
And in one form or another, it's levied on local. Now, in the execution, when you shift the unincorporated money to a city, then it's gotta have the 6% on it. That's why it is that they're paying it, it's the unincorporated that are paying that 6%.
I think all residents in the valley interest in being successful or a fire station mandate or whatever they may be, because we use the properties all over town. So
we're surrounded by forest lands that we all have an interest in.
Yeah.
And there's no revenue that comes from those forest lands for the fire.
So perhaps a way to explain to our citizens the 0.346 mill levy that will be levied by the fire district, just to tell our citizens that, to the citizens of Nibley, it will be revenue neutral. It won't come out of county property tax anymore, but it will come from a tax from the fire district, a mill levy tax from the fire district, which is then returned to the city. So it's not tax neutral to the actual governance, the city, but it should be, except for the 6%.
What's happening is we're not increasing the revenue, but we're changing who pays it.
That's exactly right.
We're having to cover what Logan was being taxed.
Right.
Is what it comes down to.
Yeah, that is all.
Spread across.
We're also, we've got to recognize that some of our cities that are paying Logan for services and Smithfield and so forth are also doing that. And so it is a massive reallocation of where that $4 million comes from. It is.
I just want to throw this out there for the small cities that are out there. This is a unique opportunity for some of the small cities to potentially add to their own assets and actually build some of the stuff they have in this one. So like on Richmond, rather than selling to our community that we're just gonna cut, you know, money in from the county, money down from the city, we're gonna pitch more the concept of, hey, we now have an opportunity to actually start putting money away for our fire station, for our vehicles, for stuff that comes in. So I'm just saying it allows the city, this gives a unique opportunity where the cities actually have a lot more participation in that sense than a collective one as a whole.
You bring up a equipment. One of the things is I haven't got enough money to continue to buy equipment
exactly
for the cities or build stations for the city. We're not just cutting down the bone here. We're cutting into the bone at the county level. And
which is why I was throwing that out there, that small cities that typically have used the county as kind of that buffer of, you're gonna get us a truck every 20 and you're gonna help us with some of the stuff we don't have.
Sure.
Keep in mind, it's now our responsibility to keep that as part of our.
We'll try and help you as we can, but we're not retaining money for equipment.
I'll make a pitch, Mayor Johnson, at least to you, and maybe others that don't have their own fire departments. Maybe there is a scenario with a countywide fire service minus the people that don't want to be in it. And I'd be happy to talk to you about that.
I would tell you, Mayor Jacobson, that I think the trend is away from volunteers,
right,
and keeping the fire district structure there, even though we're letting the mayors use it, long term has some real value to all of us. I looked at how difficult it is to form a district. What I was trying to think because the way to have a north district and a south district. And the only way you could do that is to go through the process of having an elaborate vote, budgeting, and so forth. And my own sense is explaining to the citizens that we need a new district, and at the same time trying to get taxes to support it, is going to be extremely difficult. We're probably better off to keep this old district that we have and do the best we can with it.
Right, and we have a district.
Right.
And as you said, the rub for a lot of folks is Logan didn't want to be in the district in 1965, and there are folks that don't want to be in this district. So the question is, if we let them out,
and that is that remains an option. To, if you don't like the scenario here, you can.
But if you look at the numbers, I'm just looking at this paper. Nick is the anomaly. So if you look at just by the sheer number scenario of what's been put in here, that anomaly is different than most.
The anomaly.
On the amount of money that comes in on the negative down here on the net payment that comes in. If you look at that, so if you look at the rest of, with your calculation, the rest of the cities compared to budget pay and what's in now, you're getting pretty close to where a lot of the cities have tried to get to, which shows that the system as a whole is pretty fulfilling outside of a few anomalies that come in. And Hiram's the only thing I would add on that one that also has to keep in mind, they have other funds coming in from contract cities that do help assist in a potential negative for the city than other ones that might not with that one. Now, the one thing I will add that everybody has to understand is there is, my take on this for the South, part of the issue was is the county took on and absorbed a lot of the true cost. And so what's happened now that the county is looking at potentially pulling some of that and relying specifically on the cities, and now without Logan, it's highlighting the true cost, which does create a bit of a stress point because there hasn't been that growth. Whereas in the north, some of us that have been contracting, we have been increasing that for quite a few years that allows us to be a little closer. But it still applies to the same thing, that eventually that's going to have to equate a little bit better.
I think, though, you got to remember, they're small towns. Parson, Newton, Trenton, they're like $20,000 a year. So then getting a new truck on the list, even if it's 20, 30 year savings. So you're right.
Well, it's up to us to figure out the proper scale of government. Right? That's what this is all about. It's not going to be a countywide unified fire system because Logan's already out. There's those people that don't want to be in, and if they want to be in, they don't want to be in. That's fine. But maybe there's still a proper scale of government for us to figure out without the people that don't want to be in.
Sandy, you want to come up and...
I just want to take an opportunity while you're all here together to, first of all, I think that you live in a pretty special place. And I know that this fire thing is just in a weird mess. It is so messy. And I know that the fire board has been trying to work on this for a year and a half, and kudos to George for coming up with this idea of the vouchers. I think we're getting closer to being there. My thoughts are, first of all, this is it's one option that has to be approved by the county council. And I think there are many of us on the council that would, and me, I'm probably the biggest voice in this, I think it's tragic that we can't have a united fire district, a unified fire district, because it would cost citizens less money and we could provide service just across the board to everybody. If we keep doing these little pockets of this and that, I think 20 years from now we're going to look back and think, you know what, we have an opportunity to go through the messiness and make, like I know that Smithfield and Hiram have put in the most money in their cities. I think there's a way to make them whole and still function as a unified fire district. I don't know exactly what that is or how that would work, but I would hope that as you guys think about what you want to accomplish, to not only be the what does my city need, and how can I contribute to an idea that would help the whole county together. And I think that the voucher, like, I think that's a part of it. And I think there has to be, I think there is a lot more that Chief George provides for. I think there is a lot of good things that are provided. We went the other night to the emergency operations center for an earthquake drill. Like, if there was an earthquake in this county, Chief George has a big part. Somebody has to be there to say, I'm going to manage all of the things in the county. I want 6 trucks over there, and we're going to send an ambulance into Idaho. Like, somebody needs to authorize all those things. And there, I think there's other things that, as a county, it would be better to have one person that says, I'm looking at the county as a whole. And so I'm not trying to undercut George's idea at all.
Please do.
No, I think we're getting there.
Figure out what to do, Sandy.
Yeah, but to say that it's only what the mayors want, I don't ever, like, I read an article in the paper, I think it was Mayor Young from Richmond that said, we're tired of the county coming down with a heavy hand. And I don't want to do that, and I'm not even sure where we have. I would hope that that hasn't been done in the past. And I'm not sure, so I wouldn't want to, I don't want to say that your voice, I would never do that, say that your voices don't matter. But I hope that you'll just give that some thought if you're looking through this, that maybe if there's an idea that we could all come together and make a countywide fire district. And even if it takes 5 years, like, maybe the voucher system is a stepping stone. Like, even this whole idea, when we take Logan out of the fund, everyone's going to start paying more, and which increases your inequity, like, immediately. It's just going to have, that's just the first step. There's a lot of things that have to be done. And anyway, I appreciate Chief George and everything he does. Council has, I mean, this is so hard for us to look at all of you and decide, but that's really our bottom line decision, our bottom line responsibility. How do we look at the whole county as a whole and make sure that we are taking our responsibility? And so I just wanted to, while you're all here together, I wanted to try and say that. And anybody can call me, you can call Catherine, any of us would be willing to talk to you if you have some other ideas. And we want to support you as we go through this, and we want to make it fair. That's the bottom line. Everybody needs to pay fairly for the services they're receiving, and that's not how it is right now. And we recognize that. So that's all I want to say. And I do appreciate George for coming up with the plan and saying, let's try this. I think something had to be done. So,
yeah, something had to be done. The law is short of it.
So I think that both of you can simultaneously be right, and I appreciate this as a bridge into, let's address the inequalities now, and then that allows us to have discussions about something longer term. There's never going to be a unified fire district set up overnight, you know, or even in a year. And so, but I think taking this step, I would hope that, speaking maybe from the municipal side of things, I would hope that the county council honors that attempt to say, let's address the inequality, and then we can maybe broaden what our ambitions are. But let's start here. Let's start with removing some cities paying for other areas of the valley.
Yeah, I think we kind of have to take where we are and move forward. It's really hard to start talking about a unified district when the inequities are so alarming. And frankly, it's very hard to have a unified district in Cache County when 40% opts out to begin with. And it's very difficult to talk about a unified district where you don't have the largest urban center providing it. And the interesting thing about that is when you take your city, Providence and River Heights and Logan, that's 53% of the taxable base in the county. And that's being serviced by Logan City. So when you talk about a unified district, you're talking about a unified district with 47% scattered from yin to yang. And I'd like to see a unified district. I'd like to see a unified district that enhanced the volunteer fire departments that exist, that have provided service for 100 years. I'd like to see that work. But there is a conflict between those type of fire arrangements and what Logan is doing. And that is, over time, I think that will change. But at this point, it's almost, I think the best thing we can do is make the system fair. fire district together. We keep leadership in our fire department, and that's where the 6% versus 10%. Maybe we ought to boost that even a little bit more so that we can have more stability in an overall system that's running this. Now that involved reducing or increasing the cutout, but I spent most of the afternoon with Chief George and we were talking about what do we draw out of a ship? And that's about what the discussion was. What do we have to draw out of the ship to still keep the ship going? And you can help us by letting me take 10% rather than 6%. I can do a little better holding it together. That's particularly important for the smaller departments in the county. If we can preserve the core so that that core can help them with acquisition and some of the professional things you're just not going to get in a small fire department, it would help us if you didn't. So we're working on that. Are we headed in the right direction?
Yes.
Yeah.
And just to finish out my quote, the heavy-handed part that I was talking about was correct. But what I also said, this was not. That this was the first time that there was the county coming saying, we want to demonstrate that we will work hand-in-hand with the cities, recognizing that there's a lot of anomalies. Some cities already don't have any volunteers. Some cities are completely volunteer and their costs are way down. So their costs will go way up in a unified. Like a lot. But at the same time, this, and my take across the board, this is the step into the direction that would eventually go to a unified, because for the first time we're saying, okay, everybody, it's all on paper. We all see where our shortcomings are. We see who's paying a little less, a little more. This will help equalize that to a certain extent, that then the next phase down the road, when all the volunteers are done, which eventually would be the case, it could intro something like that. And I'm in agreement by keeping the district. This right here, we're not getting out of the district. This keeps us in the district. It keeps that alive and keeps agreements in play for them, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I agree with you. I will make the recommendation again. It is what the council chooses to do, and I make recommendations. I propose things we have in front of us this coming Tuesday night. The separation of the budget so the fire is a distinct category. That is also pulling Logan out of the funding mechanism. So that's the first step, and it goes before the council Tuesday night. So that's the first step. I don't think there's any way we aren't responsible to take that step. I'm going to propose to the fire board that we increase the representation on the fire board. Again, that's a decision for the fire board to make, but I'm going to suggest they increase the representation to include the cities of Hyde Park and Providence, and also the small cities in the north elect another representative, the small cities in the south, so that essentially all of the cities are represented on the fire board. Again, fire board, I'm making a recommendation to them.
Is there any city, just so this can move a consensus of where are we starting? Is there any city that is just in disagreement with this proposal from George? Like, I'm just curious, just so that we can get the reading in the room. Okay. Is there cities not working
with this
here?
Sorry. Yeah, to the interwoke agreement. Because that's almost kind of a bargain, city by city.
But this gives a general consensus that the direction feels reasonable.
There's one thing to ask if anybody disagrees, but the other side of it is to ask who agrees.
Perfect.
And
you want to vote?
I will try and get drafts, assuming everything procedural. I mean, this is the timetable. I can't put in place the additional tax on the unincorporated area until fall of 2022. January 27th. So that's the timetable I'm working on.
Which is our current budget year that we're working on right,
right
now.
If everything goes as planned in your budget, you could see that this revenue is coming in January. So
there is unsolicited advice to us all writing budgets and thinking about truth in taxation. If it is an anomaly, I understand what you're saying. We are going to have to come up with a tax increase to cover what was probably too good a deal in the past. I admit that. But you have to make a truth in taxation statement first meeting in May about the possible increase in taxes if this equity to our citizens, but inequity to our governments means it's a tax increase to your cities. You got to do it now. You have to make a disclosure.
But we would be increasing our taxes.
We will.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said. There's a normal, and that's why I brought that out.
If you are a city that has to increase taxes to cover this sheet, you better be making a statement now.
Because we can't get a number from the county, it's going to be a swag anyway.
Well, my recommendation, Justin's recommendation, is go worst case. You know, the worst possible tax increase you're going to have to make because of this, that, and the other, let's say this for now, and back off later if you find out that it's not going
to
be that bad.
But for the majority, looking at the numbers, the majority don't have to do that. Not that I'm downsizing, say, the problem that maybe has. I'm just saying, in general, on the numbers, it stays fairly reasonable on what's being presented on what's in it.
Work out an interlocal agreement. In some cases, like in the South, where people need to meet and have a discussion about what's going on.
So we want to do a meeting on the 18th at noon in Iowa.
Check with all the South cities.
So that's it.
That's all I've got. Anybody else want to go to the floor and have at it?
So there's a fire board meeting on Tuesday, the same day that the council meeting. And you'd be looking for a recommendation from the fire board, although you're recommending to the fire board.